This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome back to the Cubs Talk Post-Match Show. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Claire Parrish. This is our post-match show of the 4-0 foam victory against Nottingham Forest. Claire was there. She's going to tell me all about it. I look forward to hearing all about it. And in the second half of the show, probably more near the end of the show, we're going to look at the table where Fulham stand. And I'm going to ask everyone that is watching live, if you are watching live, I'm going to ask you this question. The basic question is this. Scott Parker's Bournemouth is in first place, Fulham in second. Who would you rather have, Scott Parker or Marco Silva? Would you rather have Parker ball now, or would you rather have Silva ball? I know Claire's laughing. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. I thought that's a great topic for us to finish up Cottage Talk, but let's not waste any time. Claire, you are at the City Ground. Great result from Fulham. Give me your opening thoughts on what you watched.
I don't think I can say much more than it was. Blimmin' good fun. It was good. That's my opening thoughts. We're watching some enjoyable football right now, and that's all you want to do as a fan, especially as a travelling fan. You know, right. You go a few miles up the road, a few hours drive, and you don't want to see a load of old dross, and we certainly didn't. It was great fun, great atmosphere. The fans were great yesterday, despite what some weirdo knots fans are saying.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that in a second. Yeah. I want to touch on that because I have some thoughts on that. But before we get there, just continue to tell me your opening thoughts because I want to go back to that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I said it after the game on Wednesday that we started off a bit tepid on Wednesday evening. And then, you know, we came good in the second half. And I'd say it was very much the same on Sunday. I'm losing my days because Sunday football at 3 p.m. feels really weird still.
Yeah.
The first half was tepid. You know, it was a bit tentative again. And then the second half, it just felt like something just clicked into place again. And it was fun to watch. And it was entertaining football. And I think I said the same thing on Wednesday. And I'm sorry for boring people who might have seen Wednesdays. But it's one of those games that as a neutral fan, you could enjoy as well.
Right. I totally agree with that. And I'll just share this with you, and then we're going to go back and we're going to talk a little bit about this situation with some of the Nottingham Forest supporters saying some things about the Fulham supporters, which, again, we'll touch on that. But before I do, so I'm coming back from Denver, and I literally get through security, Claire. I'm going to walk you through this. I get through security. I plop myself down. I actually watch the match on my phone, and I caught the entire thing. And what was so funny is that, again, the first goal, we'll talk about this, you know, and again, I'm holding basically my phone. I could barely see it. All I hear is Gentleman Jim screaming. So, you know, and it was interesting watching this match on my phone at the airport as I was about to board my plane. But
yeah.
I'm glad I got a chance to watch it. And the funny thing about this, Claire, and this is one of the reasons why I hate watching on my phone or getting updates on my phone, because it was a minute behind. So Fulham would score, and you know, I already knew Cabano scored 1 minute ahead of time. You know, I mean, it was ridiculous, but you know what? It was kind of a nice surprise. I'm like, oh, Fulham scored again. What's going on? Oh, Fulham scored another goal. What's going on? But overall, you know, and we'll talk about it because I watched it back for a second time today, and I've heard some talk about the style of play and that it was not a pretty win. It was an ugly win. Well, you know what, Claire? Sometimes you have to win ugly. Did they play their best? No. But they got all 3 points, and I was going back and forth with Mike Gregg on this. And, you know, that I truly believe is a sign of a good club, Claire. When you're not playing at your best,
yeah,
and you beat a team 4-0, and there's all talk now, does the scoreline flatter for them? Does it really matter? But in the end, does it matter? Because in the end, they scored 4 goals, and they can score goals when they're not at their best.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is an unbelievable feat. I don't think that we've seen a complete match from this team yet at their best. That's what's actually exciting. And we'll talk about this during the show. Kenny Tete returns. I think that is a huge positive. You have Tom Kearney in the mix. And oh, by the way, eventually Fabio Carvalho will be returning. When all of our best players are on the pitch at the same time, I want to see how this all comes together. Because until they do, this is still a work in progress. It's a work in progress, Claire, and they're second. Think about that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'd agree with everything you say there, Russ. I think we've got some really exciting things to come. And I did actually think, you know, seeing Tete come back on was, you know, that was great for us to see him back. No, I completely agree with you. I think we're certainly not where we could be. But what we're doing is we're certainly getting there. And you can see some beautiful link-ups. You know, I'm sure we're going to talk about the Cabano goal.
Oh, absolutely.
And that wonderful bit of play there.
But
there was some beautiful moments throughout the game. And, you know, I would really agree that we're not at full pelt yet. But
no.
What we're doing is giving these shining moments of, look what we can do. And, I really just think, okay, I'm always positive. But,
you know, Claire.
I've got a real positive feeling about this season. Exciting things are happening, and I think we've got more to come in us, definitely.
Okay, excellent. All right, Claire, let's talk a little bit about this because, again, I'm coming back from a flight, and I'm seeing all these comments going back and forth with this Nottingham Forest supporter. And then Scott Tanfield, our friend from the Fofcast and Friends of Fulham, just shared a message board with more comments that are very similar. Just knocking the Fulham supporters left and right, knocking the team left and right. Listen, I understand that you're upset after a loss. I respect that. It reminds me of some of the stuff I saw against another team Fulham actually lost to. We'll talk about them at the end of the show. But I don't get this, Claire. And what's interesting about this, it becomes this competition. And I went to an away match at Reading back in 2012. I loved the banter going back and forth. Let me just say that. I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved being an away supporter. I love that. What I don't get is trying to compare who's got better supporters. I don't get that, or putting down supporters, calling them Tim Pot, calling them everything under the sun. And I saw these comments and I was like, what is up with this? And in the end, Claire, I would rather be a Fulham supporter. I'll just leave it at that. What are your thoughts about this? Because I think you've seen some of this as well and probably heard some of it too.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, when I saw some of the Twitter remarks earlier today in between doing lots of work, just in case someone at work's listening, not that they would be, but anyway, I just laugh. I think it's so funny because it's so silly.
It really is, Claire.
It's like being in the playground, isn't it? And like, my bag's better than your bag. My dad's bigger than your dad.
It really is that, Claire. It's funny you say that.
It really is. It's so silly. At the end of the day, it just smacks of bitterness. And for me, I think the audacity of a fan base to have a go at our fans that were there, that were, I was in the middle of it. We were loud. We were loud. Like,
I believe
you. I don't know what they were hearing. I mean, I've never been to that ground before, so I don't know whether it's like at Craven Cottage where the acoustics are a bit all over the place, and when you can hear around you, but you can't hear what's going on over the other side. And I don't know if it's like that there, because I've not experienced it before there. So I don't know, but we were loud. I know that because I was there in the middle of it. But what I would say is that the sheer audacity of those fans to say that when they all beggared off in the 60th minute, I was like, half of you blimmin' well left, for goodness sake. You know, like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
It's just, I've never seen, I mean, fair enough if it was the 80th minute, Russ, but I could not believe it. You had half an hour to play. You know, okay, they were.
And this is a team that was coming off of a good run, Claire.
Yeah, exactly. They were, okay, this might sound a bit silly and people might be like, oh my God, what's she going on about? But they were only 3-0 down when they started to leave in their droves. You, myself, we've all seen teams come back from 3-0.
Absolutely. It's not over. It's not over.
Maybe for me, because I'm Little Miss Positive, we could be 8-0 down and we're in the 82nd minute and I'd be like, there's still hope. But, you know, when there's 30 minutes of the game and you're leaving, oh, come on. You know, your Sunday roast ain't that good that you have to leave 30 minutes early. Come on.
Yeah, listen, I don't understand some of this, and I just want to bring this up because I've seen the comments going back and forth. I was like, what is going on? And it's funny because two seasons ago when Fulham were in the championship, I don't remember this back and forth. I don't know why we're seeing it now. I expect it in the Premier League, but I just did not expect it this season, but we're seeing it again. And I just, you know, again, you have your team, follow your team, love your team, and more power to you, but don't be knocking another supporter base. Don't be doing that. And I think Gags actually nails it. Who cares what the opposition thinkers say? It doesn't change the scoreline. Don't bite so easy. And you know, and again, I understand that, Gags. I totally do. But we've seen it, you know, and again, I agree with you. In the end, it's about the scoreline. They are upset that they lost. They are trying to, as I would say over here, Claire, we win 4-0. They're trying to marginalize the victory by saying, well, it flattered us or this or that. It doesn't matter. As Gex just said, it's still 4-0. You can't erase that. It's still 4-0. Just accept it. You move on to your next match. And you accept that you lost to the better team on the day.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest are not a bad side. They have a chance to potentially get in the playoffs. But again, I understand having this reaction after you lost, but I thought this was a little bit too much. When you start taking pot shots at other supporters, that's when you lose me, Claire.
Yeah, it's just childish. It's just really childish. It doesn't interest me. It's not even banter. It's just pathetic, really.
Okay. All right. All right. Excellent. All right, Claire, let's move on. And let's start here. Before we really get into the match, let's talk about an hour before the match, you were at the match. What did you make of the starting 11? Were you happy?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know my feelings on Rodak. Happy to see him between those sticks again. You know, I mean, those stats don't lie. He's let one goal in three, two clean sheets out of three. Those stats don't lie. Yeah, really happy. Really happy with it. No complaints whatsoever. We're strong everywhere. And I want to give a little bit of a shout out now and probably later on as well. I want to give a bit of a shout out to Cabano because, you know, a lot of people say, is he quality for the squad? Is he someone who's better on the subs bench? Cabano for me, love that man. He puts a shift in. And
absolutely.
Boy, he deserved what he got yesterday. He deserved it.
You know what's funny about him? Because I've been going back and forth with another fan base talking about a player here that actually came good. And I just said at the beginning of the season, sometimes you have to give a player a chance to adjust. This is a little bit different of a situation. He hasn't always gotten the opportunity. But what's interesting about Niskanen's Cabano is every time he's gotten the opportunity, he has seized it and he has taken advantage of it. And we are a better team having him with us. You know, it's almost like found money, Claire, because no one was talking about Cabano before the season began. No one. Same thing with Jean-Michel Seri. We'll talk about both of them, okay? How crazy is this that Fulham have two players playing pivotal roles this season that we weren't even thinking about before the season began? Niskanen's Cabano and Jean-Michel Seri both playing massive roles, but Fulham are a better side with him in there. It's going to be difficult getting him out, and we have players coming back. You know, I guess it's a good problem to have for Marco Silva, but when you look at the starting 11, we're going to talk about this in a bit, but, you know, Dennis Odoi is doing a good job. Kenny Tete is going to really have to fight his way back to get his job back. And that's a credit to Dennis. And when you look at the starting 11, I'm thinking this is solid. This team should win this match, and they did, Claire. That's what I took out of it.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we all thought at the start. And I'll say, as the first half went on, we thought, well, rather incorrectly, we thought this has probably got 1-0 written all over this game. We didn't see those goals going in the second half. But it is a solid team, and I'm convinced with this team. I really am. I love Dennis Odoi. I've got a chap who sits behind me in the Hammersmith end who just really doesn't have a good word to say about Dennis, but I love the guy. I think he puts in a good old shift as well. He's a workhorse. He will always do his best for you.
Okay, excellent.
I appreciate that.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to share a couple of comments. This is from our commentary about Fulham not really hitting their stride yet. This is from Russell Taylor. Six times, three goals or more already without really hitting our straps. Absolutely. Think about that. Think about the fact that we're scoring all these goals at a tremendous clip, and we have not seen the best of Fulham yet. That's what's so encouraging, Claire. The comments are coming up. They confess. Thank you, everyone, for sharing that. I want to go back a step and share this. I don't know if you've seen this. This is part of the tweets going back and forth. Sorry, Russ, can't stay too long. I've got to go and launder some more money for the Conservatives. I've actually saw you're laughing because I did see a comment about that. And just some crazy stuff, Claire. Some crazy comments that I saw while I was on the plane, of all things, on the plane looking at Twitter. I'm like, what is going on with this Nottingham Forest supporter?
But I love it. I think it's so funny. I love it. Yeah, we've got clappers. Yeah, we're posh. Yeah, we might support the Conservative Party. We might support someone else. Who blimmin' world cares?
Just exactly.
Bob off and enjoy your football and stop being a wally.
Oh, I just, again, going back, that's why I wanted to talk about this. Because, again, I've only been to two full matches in England. One was the playoff final. The other one was an away match. And I enjoyed it so much. I don't remember this type of situation going back and forth like this venom. Because this is venom. I don't remember. Again, I was at Reading and I just remember it being some healthy banter going back and forth. But I don't remember any fallout like this. But okay. You know, we can do this each and every week. Visiting fans can do it again, and we'll talk about it the next week. I don't care. I just don't get it. Again, a fan is a fan. Just support your team, and we'll support Fulham. Stop taking shots at Fulham supporters. That's my point on that. Okay. Yeah. All right, Claire, you were there. This is going to be an interesting one for you. Where do you think the match really turned? Because you could look at several points. You could talk about the first goal, or you could talk about the second goal. You could talk about another part of the match. Where do you think this match really got into the favor of Fulham?
Do you know what? I mean, yeah, you could talk about a few points, actually. I mean, I think ultimately it was a bit like what happened with us at Coventry, in which we didn't start well. Right. We didn't really get out of the starting blocks, and we didn't know how to unravel that once we were in it. And I think it was a bit similar for Forest, in that the first goal was an own goal. Yep. Disappointing, real kick in the teeth, you know, when you've been on this great run and then, you know, this own goal. But then obviously the the second goal was, for them, defensively, it was a shocker, wasn't it?
I've never seen anything that, like you're talking about Three Stooges stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So, I do you know what? I think you could just put it down to it wasn't their day. They were having a mare. And I think turning point was probably, let's say, the second goal, because I think after that, they were like, this ain't our day. I'll go with that.
Okay. And I certainly understand that, because at that point, you're down 2-0. And if you're a Nottingham Forest player, the coach, Steve Cooper, the supporters, you're thinking, this is not our day, because two things went against us that, again, maybe shouldn't have, but they did. So now, but as you said, Claire, what's interesting about all of this, even down 2-0, that was the turning point of the match. They still had an opportunity to get into this match. I think, you know, and you can agree or disagree on this, being up 2-0 always makes me nervous, because the next goal is the swing goal.
Yeah,
it's such a momentum situation if you get that goal. Fulham got the goal, but 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline, even though you're up 2-0. Because it's that next goal can change the entire match.
Oh, yeah. 2-0 means nothing, especially in the Championship.
Oh, definitely
not. In the Premiership, it probably means a bit more. But especially when you're Fulham and you're 2-0 up or down, you know. But I think in the Championship, 2-0 could easily be 4-2 to the team that's losing 2-0 in the first, in, you know, easily. 2-0 is nothing. But we put in a great shift, and we really did create some great opportunities. There was one, wasn't there, early on? Was it Wilson's opportunity in like the 15th minute?
That's right.
Which was another great opportunity, which obviously it was blocked, wasn't it?
That's right.
But you know, we had those opportunities.
Absolutely.
But I have to say, actually, looking at the stats surprised me today, because it was a lot closer than I thought it was.
It was. Claire, it's funny, when I was looking at the stats too, I was a little bit surprised by that. And maybe that's where some of the feelings of, say, the Nottingham Forest supporters, because they're looking at this and thinking, well, we're not that far off, but we lost 4-0. So I understand that when you look at the stats, if you look at the stats, you're thinking this is a much closer match. So that's actually a very good point by you, Claire. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk about Fulham's first goal. And it's not Mitro. That's what's interesting about it. It's not Mitro, but he actually thought he scored, Claire, and he actually set this goal up. But I want to get your thoughts. You were there. What was going through your mind watching this goal just get in the back of the net from a corner? I'm like, how did it get past him? But it did. Give me the view from someone that was there.
Well, Russ, this is where I'm at a disadvantage, because being 4'9" and being in a standing away end, it was quite hard to see, I'll be honest with you. But it was a weird one, because it was almost like it happened in slow motion. I mean, we're not prolific at scoring from corners, let's put it that way, right?
No, no, not at all.
I think there was that moment of disbelief when it went in. Was it, did it go in? Like, did it? And then it was like this sort of period of time where everyone sort of didn't know whether it went in, and then all of a sudden everyone cheered. But it, from where we were sat, it was quite difficult at first to see that it went in, and then it was quite difficult. And people may disagree who were there. It's because I'm 4'9", so forgive me. I didn't have the best view for this goal. But it wasn't clear that it was an own goal. Absolutely not. We all thought it come off Mitro. And actually, the announcer in the stadium, I'm pretty sure he said it was a Mitro goal. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, it's funny, because Gentleman Jim said it's a goal by Mitro. And then Jamie basically said, not so fast. You know, I'm paraphrasing, because it might be an own goal. It turned out to be an own goal. It's funny, because I've watched it back several times. It looks like maybe he was involved somehow, but they called it an own goal. I mean, he was celebrating like he scored. But in the end, you know, I'll take any goal that you get, Claire.
Absolutely.
You know, a little bit of luck, because it all evens itself out. We've had so many situations go against Fulham. It's nice to get one that goes for Fulham. And, you know, they go up 1-0. And after that, I'm curious just your view in general, because they're up 1-0. Just give me your overall analysis of the first half. we get to the half, and let's give Forest some credit because they got to the half only down 1-0. Mm-hmm. And that was a little bit concerning. I mean, I'm watching mm-hmm. on a little phone here, but I'm thinking, uh-oh, you know, they need to get that second goal and then potentially a third, which they ended up doing. Give me your analysis of what you watched in the first half besides the goal.
Yeah, I mean, I can't knock the Forest team at all in the first half. I thought they were a decent, solid side. You could tell that it wasn't their day. You know, the own goal. Once we found out it was an own goal, it was like, okay, own goal. But you know that they stopped us from playing, and they stopped us well. They did everything they had to do. They just didn't equalise. And I really thought, you know what, this is going to be a close game. And yep. I couldn't, at half time, I could never have thought that the score was going to be, I never thought the score was going to be 4-0. I thought yep. we'll hang on for a 1-0 here. I really did. I thought, you know, Nottingham Forest fans, they've got a great season to look forward to as far as
I totally agree.
You know, they're a good solid side.
Yep.
And I thought they put on a good old show. They did what they needed to do apart from their errors.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, there wasn't much in it in the first half. I'll have to say there wasn't much in it.
Totally agree, Claire. Totally agree. Let's go back a little bit and let's talk about this comment that I got from Roger. I forgot to ask you about this because what's interesting about this, on that goal, if you watch it back, I don't know if you noticed it, but Mitro gets free. Mm. He got free because Dennis Odoi stood his ground. As Roger said, Odoi did nothing illegal with the first goal. He stood his ground and the Forest player ran into him.
Mm.
I agree with all that, except I think this was also on purpose. I think Fulham are doing some of this on set pieces now. They're trying to free up their players. You know, again, we can talk about, is it legal? Is it illegal? I don't think it's illegal, but it reminded me of a basketball pick. If you watch basketball, where a player just stands his ground and another player runs right into him. It happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, did you get a view of this? Did you see this? Or did you even realize this while you were watching it?
To be honest, it wasn't on my radar, Russ. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I've watched it back since. And, you know, in my opinion, you do what you need to do to win a game.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's it. You know, you're not doing anything illegal, Roger's term there.
No, I agree with Roger.
Yeah, totally.
I totally agree with Roger on that. Because, again, this is not the first time this has happened. It actually happened in the Birmingham City match too. I think that they're working on this to figure out ways to get their players free with these situations of standing their ground, and it's worked. And until they are told that they can't do it anymore, you keep doing it, you know, and I don't have any problem with it. Thank you, Roger, for pointing that up. Mm. Okay, Clara, let's move to the second half. And what's interesting when we talk about the second half, I actually have some comments about going back to the turning point of the match because two supporters brought up this. I'm going to share their comments right here because it's a funny game when you look at this. What happens if this is different? And I'm going to share. I'm just looking for the comment. Just give me 1 second as I look for it. As here I am, Russ, just trying to let's see. Here we go. This is from Dave Clark. Probably turning point for us is when Grab and blasted high over for what was their best chance at getting 1-1. And that's actually a good point. And Colm actually says the same thing. Grabbin's miss. That was right there. So, Claire, what was going through your mind when you saw this? That was a wonderful opportunity. It also shows it wasn't their day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those moments where you're, again, you know, it wasn't their day. And we've said that and I completely agree. It was one of those moments you look at that and you think that's only going one way. And then it didn't. And what can you say? As a Fulham supporter, it all felt good.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Exactly. Am I supposed to be upset that he missed it?
Yeah. But, you know, again, good point. That was quite a pivotal moment in the game as well. Absolutely.
Oh, totally. Totally agree with that. Thank you guys for bringing that up. Okay. So let's go in the second half. And as gentlemen Jim and Jamie were talking about, up to the point that we're going to talk about the second goal, Nottingham Forest were pushing forward pretty good, to their credit. But then comes the situations, as I call Three Stooges, others I just saw call Laurel and Hardy, whatever you want to call it. It's Mitro's first goal. So let's talk about this, Claire. Right in front of you, could you see it happening in slow motion?
I feel bad because if the Notts Forest supporters are watching it, I think we're going to get a little bit of hate on this.
Maybe.
To kind of laugh. You know, we've all been there. We've had terrible.
Fulham have done it too, by the way. If we're being fair, yeah, Fulham have done it.
Of course. I mean, look at us at Coventry the other week. We were abysmal. We were rotten. We've been there. You know, come on. Let's just.
Tim Ream at Derby County stands out to me. There was a Derby County match at Pride Park where Tim Ream just, it was terrible. That was like, again, one of those situations where you're like, what is going on?
Exactly.
And it happened here to Nottingham Forest.
We all have these mares and, you know, that was their mare. And, you know, this was our gain. And what you're always going to get is, and again, sorry to be boring, but going back to what I said on Wednesday with you, Ross, Mitro's always going to be there.
Right.
He's always going to be there. He's always going to poach it. He's always going to whack it in. You cannot make mistakes like that when you've got a Mitrovic on the pitch. You just can't do that. He's always going to take those opportunities. You can just guarantee that. And he did. And he took it well. You know, he did. He takes those opportunities. He gets in those right positions. And we are just blessed to have him, aren't we?
Absolutely, Claire. Very good point. All right. Let's follow that up. As I mentioned earlier in the show, what was interesting at this point, so Fulham are up 2-0. I'm behind. I'm talking about the stream that I have. And next thing I know, I get updates from BBC Sport, from the Fulham site, everything, and get all these updates that Cabano scored. And Fulham now make it 3-0. But as you mentioned, you really wanted to talk about the entire movement here, because Cabano scores, but it's more than just his goal. This was a team goal. And what's interesting about it, and we all make mistakes, and gentleman Jim kept saying it was Seri's goal. And, you know, then he finally saw that it was actually Cabano's. But you know what? He made a goalman just like I make several goalmans during the show. We all make mistakes. But it's funny because I actually thought it was Seri too, so to gentleman Jim, what I was watching, it kind of looked like him, but it was actually Neeskens Cabano. So what were you thinking with a Fulham story goal here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd got into our stride at this point. I think it's fair to say that, certainly from my viewpoint, we got into our stride. We had that fire in us at that point. I think we had that belief in us. And I think we started to play quite a lot more cohesively at this point.
Right.
And excuse me, that link up between Seri to Wilson. Love that.
Oh, love that.
Absolutely love that. And actually the angle that I saw today of that, which is what I'm guessing was the angle gentleman Jim saw, which is why I can completely understand why he thought Seri was the scorer, the goal scorer from that angle. You know, it was a great link up. It was just a great cohesive bit of play from a cohesive team.
Absolutely.
Who are playing as a team. And you know, I love Cabano. I'm such a big Cabano fan. Love that guy.
He's been great
since he's been with us, and he deserved it. It's been a while coming for him, and he deserved it. And all their faces just tell a million stories as far as I'm concerned. But you could see what it meant to him. You could really see what it meant to him. And that's special as well, to see as a fan what it means to that player. It was a great goal. It was a great goal. They understand each other, Russ.
Yes.
They understand each other. And I love to see that.
That's what's great, Claire. And this goes back to why I'm so positive moving forward.
Mm.
Because this was a typical Fulham goal that we've seen. And we're going to continue to see it. When you score goals like this, team goals like this, they're so dangerous. This can happen at any time against any opponent. That's what's so encouraging, Claire. We've seen this. Swansea City, I've seen it. I want to say Stoke. I mean, there are so many of these matches where all of a sudden they're on the break. You go all the way back to Huddersfield Town. It just happens. And they just have that ability. That's why I actually don't think we've seen the best of them, which is what's the encouraging sign for me. So you got 3-0. And like I said, what's great about it is the players that are involved and the way that they're linking up. It's just, it's wonderful to watch. And this will go back to at the end of the show. I've already mentioned that there are more people watching live. The end of the show, we're going to end with this. And I asked Claire this question. She's going to give me the answer later because Scott Parker's Bournemouth is in first place. Would you rather have Scott Parker right now? Would you rather have Marco Silva? I'm asking you now. We've had some evidence. They're in first place. They're doing fantastic. Scott Parker and Bournemouth are doing fantastic. Would you rather have Parker? Would you rather have Silva? You tell me at the end of the show. Okay. All right, let's get back to it, Claire. And let's talk about the fourth goal. I can't believe we're talking like this. The fourth goal. And it's Mitro again. And what's interesting about this, boy, I have a feeling Nottingham Forest supporters really don't like Dennis Odoi, especially after this, because he's involved. He gets fouled, and it now leads to the penalty, and Mitro scores. And this is actually important. We need Mitro scoring on penalties. I think it's going to be very important moving forward. I think there's a little bit of a book on him that he shoots to his left. He has mixed it up a little bit, but he goes to his left. The goalkeeper, Samba, got his hands on it, but Mitro put it in the back of the net. What was going through your mind on the fourth goal?
Well, I have to say, I've never been very good at watching penalties, and I usually...
Do you do this?
No, I turn around.
Oh, okay.
I have my back facing the pitch. And but my cousin's daughter, Demi, she looked at me and she said, I can't watch. I said, just you will watch. He's going to score. It's going to be fine.
Yep.
We've got that confidence, Russ. We've got that. We've got that belief. We've got that esteem. We know we can do this. And I can't explain it. It's one of those feelings that you just wish you could bottle, you know? It just felt good to be a Fulham supporter yesterday. It's been a good week for Fulham supporters and for Fulham players. And when it feels good and you know, you're riding that crest of the wave.
That wave.
Nothing's going to go wrong, is it? Not at the moment. It will. It'll come crashing down at some point and we'll have a shocker. But at the moment, it's not happening and we're enjoying it and we're making the most of it. And it was never in doubt, in my mind. And I'm pretty sure it was never in doubt in Mitro's mind.
As you say, Claire, right now from the Lego movie, everything is awesome. Everything is awesome. So, you know, it's really a good time to be a Fulham supporter. It could change next week against West Brom. We'll see what happens. But, you know, again, right now, we should be happy. Here's something interesting. I don't think this is going to happen. Mitro will hit 45 goals this season. That would be unbelievable.
You
know what? The way he's playing right now. And the crazy part of this, and this will go back to when we talk about Silva versus Parker once again, is how the heck was this player not involved last season? How did this happen? You know, and again, honestly, I didn't see Mitro fitting into Parker's way of playing. So that's a factor in all this. But when you're seeing a player that fits into a manager's system the way Mitro does, it works so well. And it probably was a system situation with Parker and Mitro. Maybe there was something else to it. But this system works so well with Mitro, Claire, playing under Silva. I think you would agree with me on that.
100%. It's set up for him all day long. Absolutely. And I love Wayne's optimism and positivity there. Love that, Wayne.
Okay. And then we've got our friend Julian. Please don't jinx the Fulham pens. Ha ha. You know, hopefully we're not doing that. Hopefully they just continue to go in. All right. Okay, Claire. Very good stuff. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about man of the match. I want to get Claire's man of the match. And we're going to end by looking at the table and talking about a couple of teams in and around Fulham. Okay, Claire, let's get to it. There's some candidates here. Who's your man of the match?
Well, I was teetering on Seri on Wednesday, and I didn't go for Seri. And I thought he had another great game yesterday, so Seri's my man. But again, I could have chosen about three.
Okay. I believe Tosin was the pick on the Fulham website, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
And again, what's interesting about him, and gentleman Jim kept talking about this, Claire, and I'm sure you noticed this as well. We've seen a change from Tosin throughout the season. Mm. You're seeing a player that doesn't really fuss around with the ball anymore. He just gets rid of it.
Mm.
We don't have those really scary moments with him. We have a little bit, but not recently. He's just taking care of business. And I think he's added that to his game. He's basically not wasting any time. Mm-hmm. If there's any danger, he's just kicking the ball out of play. Goodbye.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I have no issue with that. I don't care that in some cases it's a corner. It's safety first, Claire. He's doing his job.
Yeah, 100%. If the ball's not in play, then it's not in danger, is it? He's not dangering you. And I think he is someone that we're watching grow and flourish. And it's great to see. It's really great to see. And again, you know, just finding his place in the team.
Right.
And his strength within it. You know, it just goes back to that word team again and what that means at the moment, and every player is integral to that.
Right. Oh, good stuff. All right, we have some comments here from man of the match. Let's see what we got from Rick Kerr. For me, man of the match is Seri. From Roger Lewis, we're going back and forth here, Claire. My man of the match is Tosin. Let's see, they're coming in. Here we go, we got more coming in. I've two for man of the match, and strongly neither is Mitro, Seri, and Tosin for Colm Bugler. Okay, let's see. My friend Anthea Evans. Anthea, I've not heard from you in a long time. Being greedy, man of the match, times two, Tosin and Ream, giving us confidence at the back. Okay, let's see what we got. What else we have? Let's see what Rick Kerr said again. Tosin did make a bad error, but played really well. Okay, well, you know, they all make errors. I mean, that happens. Let's see. And Thea's bringing this up. We didn't even talk about this, but great late stop by Rodak. Very good point by you and Thea.
Yeah.
Let's see. From Paul, he says, Harry Wilson. Now, we have not talked that much about Harry Wilson. What are your thoughts about Harry Wilson? I have this weird back and forth with him in my head because I see the ability, but Claire, you and I have talked about this. I don't like some of the theatrics from him. We still see it. I don't think that he deserved, you know, a free kick to go in the other direction. I actually thought he was fouled. There was that chance that happened in the match. But I'm a fan of Harry Wilson's. I just, you know, and again, I just wish he would take his theatrics out of his game. That's just me. But what were your thoughts about how he played?
Yeah, so actually, I was kicking myself on Wednesday after the game, Russ, that I didn't actually mention Harry during our chat.
That's right. And
I've actually written in my little notepad beside my laptop, Harry in big block capitals to a goal. That's what I've written. And I did actually want to mention Harry. So I'm glad we're talking about him. Because for me, I really like him. I think I keep using the same terminology. And I apologize for my limited football vocabulary tonight.
That's okay.
But, again, workhorse. I think he works really, really hard.
He
creates a lot for us. And for me, I want to see him score a goal because I really think he's due one. And that I just think that would be lovely for him. I really do. I'd love to see him score. But I think what he does is a lot of work. He don't give up. He's a lad who don't give up. And he kind of looks like a player who's played for us for a few seasons.
Right.
No, he doesn't look fresh for us. You know, he looks like he's really...
He fits.
He fits. He loves the team. You can see that passion there. And that's usually passion that comes after a season or two, not so fresh into the team, which I think is, you know, props to Silva and Boamorte for that.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned that about Wilson. And one of the things stood out to me, because we're talking about players that love the club. One player that I know loves the club very much so, and you can give me the transfer speculation all you want on him. He ain't leaving, and that's Mitro. Just watch how Mitro acts. Mitro loves Fulham enough. If people are going to throw transfer speculation when we get to January, you know where you can shove that, because he ain't going anywhere. He loves Fulham. He is settled in Fulham. So anyone that wants Mitro in January, it's not going to happen. I'll just say that. Okay, I'm just going to share a couple more comments here. This is a funny one. Man of the match, the wife, born Nottingham, but Fulham to the core with three brothers who are forced. It was nice end to the match. Okay. Very funny there, Steve. Thank you for sharing that. Very good. Okay. Claire, before we talk about the table, I have to backtrack. I forgot to ask you about this. We talked a little bit about it. One last thing on the matches. Talk about Kenny Tete's return and how pivotal this is. But as I mentioned, he's the better player between him and Dennis. But Dennis is doing his job. So Kenny's really going to have to fight for his spot back. Let's just call it what it is. This player is going to give us another dimension. You know, you're going to have, you have Anthony on one side, him with their attacking abilities. They do need him back. Nothing against Dennis. So this is huge news that Kenny Tete came into the match late in the match.
Yeah, great to see him back. And, you know, you say vying for his place with Odoi. But isn't that fantastic? Because isn't that what makes you a better player? You want to be the best. Yeah. So you know, I think that's a positive, massive positive for us is you want that position. You're going to play your socks off because you want that spot. Great position for us to be in. I love Dennis Odoi. I know it's quite a mixed bag. I don't know about on social media, but certainly around me in the Hammersmith end, mixed bag of feelings towards Dennis. I love the lads. Absolutely love him. And he can do some magical stuff for us. He really can. We've seen it, and we know it's there. It's in his bag of tricks.
And he gives his all.
Yeah. Love them both. Love them both. What can you say? We're lucky, aren't we? We're blessed.
We are lucky, Claire. And I'm just going to share some more comments going back because we were talking about Harry Wilson. Let's see. I'm just going to share a bunch of comments. Harry Wilson is a Welsh firebrand. Don't take that out of his game. Okay. All right. Let's see what else we got. I guess that goes back to my comment. I understand. Let's see.
Celtic fire, isn't it?
Yep. Wilson will come good. Give him time. I agree with all of that. Let's see what else we got. Here's an interesting one from Colm Bugler. My only gripe about the game is Mitro taking a free kick when we have Wilson. We have not seen Wilson do that enough. I agree with that.
Yeah, agree. Definitely.
Okay, let's see what we got here. Let's see from Paul. Wilson reminded of the Scott Parker of old, or great talented player and a workhorse. And you said that, Claire. You know, and I'm going to share this from Rich. You're right, Claire. Harry never stops working. And for a little guy, he's incredibly strong and good in the air. Okay, so I totally agree with all that. Maybe I shouldn't have laid it on so thick about the theatrics, but he does work hard. So to be fair, you guys are all right on that. You are totally right. To me, they're separate things, but he really does work hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's good that it's being noticed as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we should be talking more about that. And I'm glad that you mentioned this, because I've not heard talk about his work ethic. And his work ethic is right up there. That's a great comment by you. Look, you know, as I say to my friend Derek, look at the brain on Derek. I'm going to say, look at the brain on Claire. Okay, I had to go there. All right, Claire, let's end the show by talking about what's going on with the table. Very end, we're gonna ask the question. We're gonna go there. Parker ball or silver ball? Share which one you'd rather have at this point, because we're gonna talk about the table. But let's start here. So again, we have Fulham again moving up to second. Claire, just your thoughts about Fulham being second in the table.
Well, you know, dash out some old saying, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right.
Us being second, you know, we could well go down to fourth or fifth. We could well be first in a few months' time. You know, I think it's going to be like that. And again, that's the beauty of the championship.
That's right.
I think it's probably fair to say it's out of the, you know, the three, isn't it?
It is.
I would say, I'll put my neck on the line and say Fulham, Bournemouth, West Brom, not necessarily in that order, but that's what we're looking at right now. And I think that's probably how it's going to stay. I think there might be a bit of flip-flopping, but generally that's how it's going to stay. Okay. I'd say we're where we deserve to be. And, you know, I'd say certainly for Bournemouth and West Brom, they're where they deserve to be as well. We're three good sides. We're three good, solid championship sides. Do I think Bournemouth have got what it takes to go all the way and do this for the rest of the season? No, I don't. I think that Scott Parker is a plan A man, and I don't see his plan B. And I think he gets found out very easily, and then he has nothing to revert to. He has no contingency plan. And I think that that might be Bournemouth's undoing this season eventually.
See, I knew why I like Claire so much. She stole my thunder, but okay. Nope, it's all good, Claire. It's all good. And we're going to talk about Bournemouth and West Brom in a second. But before we do that, I have to talk about another club that I've said I'm going to keep talking about on Cottage Talk because they've become such an integral part of Cottage Talk lately. Let's talk about Coventry City. They got a draw here. They were up 1-0. And again, anyone, if you get a chance, please watch the video of the goal from Coventry City. It was on a penalty from Matt Godden. He went down in the box again. You be the judge. Did he dive? Or was this a legitimate penalty? I've watched this several times, and I'm having a hard time seeing where he is fouled. I've heard comments that knees hit. I didn't see it. Maybe it did. But he went down again. The same player just coming off of a bend. Goes down in the box, gives them a penalty. He scores on the penalty. They go up 1-0, but I have to tell you, Claire, Derby County got the equalizer in the second half. So, I don't know, maybe everything evens out in the end, Claire. But our friends at Coventry City, they got a 1-1 draw at home. And I'm sorry, but that put a smile on my face. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about West Brom. Now, Fulham are about to play West Brom. They won again. You know, again, they've been consistent. I'm glad that you said this as well, Claire. I truly believe it's going to be between Fulham, Bournemouth, and West Brom for the two spots. It's going to come down to that. So the upcoming match is a pivotal match. It is. It's not the be-all to end-all, but Fulham playing West Brom. And on their day, they are tough to beat. And what's interesting about them is that when I've watched them, they have the ability, I wouldn't say to win ugly, but they find ways to win. Good teams do that. West Brom have that. They are going to be a difficult team on Saturday, no question about it, because they can find ways to win. So they get the victory, and that's going to lead us to talk about the team in first. You've already talked a little bit about Scott Parker and Bournemouth. Bournemouth continue to win, and full credit to Scott Parker, the players, and again, very sorry, let's just say this off the bat, about the situation with David Brooks. I hope everything worked out for him. Very sorry about his situation, and I'm thinking about him, and hopefully he will get through his situation with cancer. It's very sad, and I wish him only the best. But if we're just concentrating on Bournemouth on the pitch, Claire, I've watched them several times, and they are in first, and they deserve to be in first because they're taking care of business. Claire, it's Parker Ball 2.0. It's the same thing, and I'm telling you, they're just as boring. They're hard to watch. They're winning. And this is something that, again, like you said, when you continue to win, and you can't knock that. But what happens when Scott Parker is forced to go to a plan B? That's going to be when he's really tested. He's not being tested right now. He's absolutely not being tested. What happens when he is forced to go to a plan B? That's my question on that. Because that is something that we've learned at Fulham. Playing Parker Ball, he can potentially see matches out 1-0, maybe 2-1, as we're seeing. In some cases, winning 2-0, or in this case, winning 3-0. Congratulations, that's great. What happens when he needs to change? We know, Claire, based on his history with us, he's unwilling a little bit to change. So we'll see how this all plays out with Bournemouth. And that's going to lead to our conversation to end the show. So like I said, Bournemouth is in first. Claire, I'll go to you first. If you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts. I know this is looking back, but let's look at Scott Parker and also Marco Silva. We're a decent way into the season. If you could do it all over again, would you keep Scott Parker and not hire Marco Silva? Would you rather have Parker ball now or Silva ball? You go first, Claire.
It's not even a question. Silva all day. You know what? One thing, Russ, at the beginning of the season, I'm lucky enough to sit in a lovely area in H6. And yep. We sit with some fantastic, fantastic fans, all generations, really quite level-headed people. And they all said, I nearly didn't renew. The only reason I renewed is because Parker left. Wow. And that's really telling. And these blokes have been, they've been season ticket holders for 50 years and they were saying this. And I think that is a really, really important thing to highlight is that, okay, we were detached because of the pandemic and we weren't there in person, so obviously that there was a detachment there anyway, right. But we were bored. I was falling asleep watching some of the games, right. And I think we're being entertained. We are being entertained. And even, I don't want to keep saying the C words, but going back to Coventry one last time, even when we were losing so abysmally at Coventry, yep. It was so abysmal that it was still more interesting than watching Parker ball because it was so bad. It wasn't just mediocre or just, it was... Oh my God, this is shocking. So we are on those two scales. We are either blimmin' awful or absolutely flipping marvellous. And I'd rather that any day of the week than Parkable.
Well, I'm with Silverball and I've had enough evidence now to make that assertion. It's funny because I remember two seasons ago, I was going back and forth with a good friend of mine, Chris Davidson in Spain, and he wanted to be entertained. And I would say to him at the time, well, Fulham are winning. Fulham are in contention. He would come back to me and say, Russ, I want to be entertained. I want to win, but I want to be entertained.
Yes.
This is boring, Russ.
Yes.
And Chris, I'm going to say this right now. If you watch this, you were 100% right and Russ was wrong. You were right because now I'm having the evidence of what it looks like. I am – someone that looks at the scoreboard and say, you know what, you judge by the scoreboard. But honestly, I get Chris's point. I get your point. Why can't you win and play entertaining football at the same time? You can. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm all about Silver Ball now. And again, I give Scott all of his credit that what he did at Fulham. I'll never forget the championship final against Bournemouth. I got Bournemouth on the brain. Against Brentford. And to me, that was his best achievement. That game plan to beat, I was almost going to say it again, Craig, but I'm doing it. Brentford was just incredible. And he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
But overall, it was the style of play. Mm. It was, like you said, no plan B, trying to hold on for dear life when you're up 1-0. It drove me nuts in the end. And now I've seen the other side of it. And I'm with everyone on Silver Ball. So I'm going to share some comments. This is from Rick Kerr. Got it to be Silver Ball. Let's see. Some games with Parker you win, but not a good feeling. So far, Silver Ball is a great feeling. It's my friend Roger Lewis. Silver Ball all the way. Both Bournemouth and West Brom play boring football, Fulham entertained. Again, to my friend Andy, who is a huge West Brom fan, I understand that too. But they are winning, to their credit too. They don't play the exciting football that we do. I think we're fortunate right now, Claire. Let's see. This is what Paul says. Parker's a good championship manager, but in Silva, we have a proven premiership manager. Paul, you're right. Regardless of his history in the Premier League, there are some good moments. You don't become a manager of Everton unless you're a good manager. I'm sorry. They don't go ahead and bring someone like that in if they don't have confidence that he can be a good manager. It didn't work out in the end, but you know what? He was the manager. He did a good job at Hull City. He also did a good job, obviously, at Watford to get the job. So, I think we have a good one with us. Let's see. Let's. I'm going to share a couple more. Dave Cronin, the difference is the players weren't behind Parker. They are Silva. Maybe some players were behind Parker, but they're definitely behind Silva. They're buying in, Claire. That's another thing.
Mm.
You're seeing players, and I'll say this again. Did you see the best of Mitro under Parker or the best of Mitro under Silva? I think there's an obvious answer to that.
Yeah.
How about Jean-Michel Seri?
Mm-hmm.
Niskanen mm-hmm. Cabano. We can go down the list.
Yeah.
All That's these players shame. Are thriving
mm-hmm.
under Silva. It's not all about him because it's obviously about the players.
Yeah.
But there's something to it, Claire. There's absolutely something to it.
Yeah.
Mitro and Parker, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Look at him now under Silva. Yeah. It fits like a glove.
Yeah.
That's why for me, again, it's not just about Mitro. It's about the entire team. You are seeing players improve. Name me a player that improved under Parker. I can't name one. I'm sorry. No. I can't.
No, absolutely. I mean, if anything, that some of them went backwards, not forwards.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. Absolutely. Okay. I do feel like Parker's style of play really suppressed some of our players, especially our more creative players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly. And I think Dave's got a fair point there, definitely.
Yep. Let's see. One final comment. Silver ball and having Boa back to it. And again, I know that's a huge factor with a lot of supporters.
Yes.
I love watching him. You know, again, whatever they show him, he's very animated and he's a Fulham legend and it's great to have him back. And you have that feel-good factor back at Craven Cottage. And that to me is so important. And like you said, you were talking about earlier, Claire, and this is how we'll end the show. When you're with other supporters there and they're talking about not renewing their season ticket because of the style of play, that speaks volumes. I mean, there are supporters that have bled black and white for I don't know how long. And if you're having some that are doubting if they should renew their season tickets, there's something not right there.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to slam Scott Parker. I'm just trying to point out the difference because I want to give him the credit that he deserves. He got us back to the Premier League. He deserves full credit. I brought up the championship final. I'll say it right this time against Brentford. He did a great job there, and he deserves credit for all that. And he's doing a wonderful job at Bournemouth, and they're all behind him. And that's wonderful. I'm all behind Marco Silva right now. And there's a reason for it, because the style of play, the players are playing for him. I'm not saying they didn't play for him, but he's getting the most out of what he has. And that, to me, is the best part of Marco Silva right now. Okay, Claire, what a fantastic show. The hour flew by. We actually just finished about an hour of doing this show. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
Okay, excellent. Before we wrap this up, Claire, any final thoughts?
you know what? My final thought is just to say how wonderful it is to be a Fulham supporter right now. Fans are happy having Louis Boa and Marco Silva at the head of the table. It just makes me happy. The players look happy. It's just a time to really enjoy being a Fulham supporter and just make the most of enjoying that feeling. So that's my final thought there.
Okay, excellent. My final thought actually involves, we're going to go back and talk about the Fulham supporters. And I've heard a lot of criticism over the years about the atmosphere. And Claire, you obviously can talk better about it because you're there. And one thing that I can't get really, you know, it drives me a little crazy when we get these pot shots at the Fulham supporters. I do understand issues with atmosphere because I deal with it here. You know, again, sometimes it has to do with how the stadium is built. In the case here at Gillette, that's a problem. And the fans are similar in a way that, you know, and again, they support their team. They can be loud, but they are a family. Patriots Nation is a family. Fulham supporters are a family. People react differently. And, you know, one fan isn't the same as the other. The one thing that I will say, Claire, is I think the atmosphere can be fantastic again. And, you know, and again, I've heard a lot of criticism about it. The best indicator I can give you is the Tom Kearney goal. I want to go back to that. The Tom Kearney goal, the place erupted. And I've seen comments that they have not seen it like that since Dennis Adoy's playoff goal, okay? And you know, you can go way back and talk about the Premier League days. The atmosphere's there. The atmosphere can be there. It has something, I truly believe, something to do with how Craven Cottage is built that causes certain stands to be louder than others. And obviously, where the away fans, it's pretty loud. And they make a good amount of noise and more power to them. And Sammy James did a whole episode about the atmosphere, and I thought he did a great job about it. And really, you know, but I think how Craven Cottage is built is a factor in all this. But I have heard very loudly that the Fulham supporters can make that atmosphere just as loud as any other fan base around. I've heard it. I know it's there. And I love the Fulham supporters, and I will not accept anyone taking shots at them anymore. I'm gonna fire right back. And I hope everyone understands, someone takes a shot at the Fulham supporters, I'm going to be answering back on Cottage Talk, because you know what? We are a family, and I don't care, and I'm going to protect the family. So that's how I'm going to end the show. All right, Claire, great show. Fantastic show. I always love doing shows with you. We do have to wrap this up. For Claire Parrish, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.